the book of James, chapter number 5. James, chapter number 5. And I'm going to be reading from verse number 13. James, chapter number 5, from verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Shall we pray? Eternal Father, thank you for your word again this beautiful morning. Lord, we just ask that you breathe upon your word. Let this word come alive unto us. Lord, I pray that you will bless the heart and the ears of my brethren. Oh Lord, anoint them so that they will receive the word as is being preached this morning. I pray for grace to be able to declare your word without any element of myself in it, but clearly, expressly, as it emanates from the throne room of grace. Let it build us up together so that at the end of this message, all of us will have been transformed by your word. Thank you because you do this and much more. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. And the church say, amen. 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 Praise God. Over the past couple of weeks, we have been going through the book of James, and we're going to be rounding that up very soon. As a matter of fact, we're going to be rounding it up by God's grace next week. Now, I've taken it upon myself to move to this section of the book of James, the latter part of chapter 5, because there is this important, all-important subject that I wanted us to talk about. And I didn't want us to complete this book without talking about that. Obviously, there have been a few things that we have skipped along the line, which we could have invested some time into. But I thought this particular subject is so important that it's not just that we're going to be talking about it today. I also want us to conclude our thoughts next week. I'm going to be teaching by God's grace on what I've titled The Prayer Dimension. The Prayer Dimension. And even though I have my notes here, I would want us to just engage in a conversation in the sense that I want to trust the Spirit of the Lord to just allow me to speak to your hearts, with not much reference with the notes. Just speak from my heart to you regarding this important, all-important subject, the prayer dimension, the prayer dimension. Now, we see apostle of God coming into this place and just writing about prayer. Now, I don't know whether you've ever imagined a time, have you ever imagined your life, how your life would have turned out if you were maybe born to a different set of parents, you know? I think a lot, so I'd previously imagined it. Have you ever imagined how your life would have turned out if you were born at a different location? You know, maybe not in Australia for some of us that are born here, maybe in Peru, or maybe in Afghanistan, or, you know, or maybe in China, or maybe in the US, or, you know, what would your life look like now? And have you ever imagined a situation where you were born at a different time, you know, maybe not in the 19 whatever that you were born. Maybe you were born in the 18 whatever, you know, or in the 16 whatever. What your life would have been like? It's difficult to imagine, you know, but sometimes you just want to play some mind games on yourself and just think, oh, if I was born in so and so place, or if I was born to this wealthy person, you know, this is how my life will have been, and that's left into our imaginations to just run as wildly as it wants to. But the truth of the matter is that there is not much we can do about those things, you know, because the Lord has set them up, and He did not consult with us before He did, you know. But can I take you a bit further? Have you ever imagined how your life would have been if your prayer life had been much better than what it is currently? Have you ever imagined how, you know, your life, your career, your endeavors, your family situation, your relationship, you know, your kids, you know, how they would have turned out if your prayer life had been different? Now, many of us will not be able to, obviously, will not be able to make any change to what has taken place in the past. But the beauty about this is that it is possible for us from today to start making amends with regards to our prayer life. And one of the things that it's difficult for us to appreciate is how much difference we will have had in our lives if our prayer lives have been completely and totally different to what we've got now. And because we're not able to actually match up what it could have been like to what it is now, we don't seem to appreciate how much we have lost in terms of victory in life and in terms of, you know, the good things that the Lord has promised and that the Lord will have done. Imagine if it was possible for us to be able to play, you know, just put in a cassette or whatever thing, or a DVD, and you're able to see how your life would have been if our prayer life had been much better than what it is now. I'm sure many of us will start, you know, engaging in prayer straight away. But because we don't seem to have the luxury of seeing how it could have been, how it could have turned out to be, then we still remain the way we are. And the purpose of this teaching and the one next week is to challenge us to come up to a point where we'll begin to appreciate what prayer is in our lives as individuals, and especially, more especially, as believers in Christ. You know, sometimes what surprised me is not that people don't pray. It's not that we don't pray as much as we ought to, you know. There have been, you know, surveys done even amongst pastors that pastors don't even pray as much as we should do, you know. And you can now extrapolate what members of the church, what their prayer life will look like. I think there was an instance when they said there were some of us as pastors who could even go throughout the week, you know, without even spending as much as an hour in prayer put together. And that's frightening. That's frightening not just because the pastor is supposed to understand and know exactly what prayer is about and how prayer is very pivotal to a Christian walk, but you can imagine how it's going to spill over to the pews, to the people of God that are being led and shepherded by such pastors. But what surprises me is not so much about the fact that we don't invest much time in prayer. What surprises me more is the fact that many believers, you come across them, and what surprises me is that it's not just that we don't pray, it's how much of victory that we expect to have in spite of our prayerlessness. That's more of a surprise to me. How much of victory we expect to have in our lives in spite of the fact that we know that we don't pray, or at least we don't pray as much as we should. That is surprising to me because the scripture is replete with instruction as to the fact that prayer is not just a luxury. It's not just an attachment to make our life more complicated. It is actually our oxygen, you know, as believers. It's not just what we do, it's the way we ought to live. And so to come across believers who expect victory in their life, expect victory in their finances, expect victory in their families, expect victory in their day-to-day walk, expect victory, you know, even in their minds, you know, in their will and mind and emotion and the way they comport themselves. Expect victory in all of these areas without being a prayerful person. It beats my imagination, it beats my mind, because it's practically impossible. Don't forget, we're going through a practical book. It lays it bare as it should be. Now, in this passage, you come across a sort of an algorithm. You know, an algorithm is something that you come across in medical places a lot. What I mean by that is they tell you, if this happens, do this. You know, if this happens, do this. If the temperature is more than this, you do this. If it comes to this, you do this. So it's a kind of a prescription ahead of time to tell you what you need to do when the situation is like this. And sometimes you actually put that those algorithms on the wall because you can't memorize them. So you just say, oh, the temperature is 38.5. Okay, this is what you do. At least that's what you do as a new person into the profession until you are able to know exactly what to do. That's exactly the prescription that we have here. And it gives the prescription for four different situations of our lives as believers. Look at what it says in verse number 13. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. So there is a prescription for, oh, is this guy suffering? Let him pray. And then the next one, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. You know, and I hope you know that psalm is a form of prayer. Another translation says, let him sing praises. Singing praises to the Lord is a form of prayer. We might get into that in a short while. So in suffering, it says pray. When you are cheerful, it says pray. If you are sick, it says pray. And if you fall into sin, it says pray. So those are the four categories of human experiences that are covered in this brief passage that we've just read. Suffering, pray, cheerful, pray, sick, pray, fall into sin, pray. Now, this list is obviously not exhaustive, but it is broad enough for us to understand that prayer is something that applies to all kinds of situations. I believe that is actually what the Spirit of the Lord is passing across to us through the pen of this writer. That prayer is not some kind of luxury that we put on when we have enough time. It is a prescription that works in whatsoever situation. It's simply saying that in whatever situation you find yourself, there is always one smart move that you can make, and you will always be right, and that is pray. Always right, and that is pray. One smart move that you always make, and that is to pray. Now, this is like, like all in all kind of a medication, you know. I grew up in the part of the world where, you know, they might be able to give you a particular, herbal ointment or herbal concoction, and they say, this one is all in all. In other words, headache, use it. Back pain, use it. Stomach pain, use it. If you can't sleep enough, use it. You know, it's some of you are laughing as if you're not part, and I know you're apart from, you understand what I'm talking about. So it's all in all, you know. So and it's a cheap way to life. So you don't have to have too many medications. You just, oh, go and get your horn in all. And then so it's a kind of an herbal concussion, you know, and can I tell you, I mean, personal testimony, it works, you know. I'm not encouraging you, but from my experience as a small child, you know, it worked well. As a matter of fact, I remember that my parents, when we were sick at that time, they would probably take us to the chemist and all those, you know, and get us whatever we needed to take care of ourselves. But when it comes to them, when they are sick, they don't go to those things. They just get their, you know, that's the way I can describe it. The all-in-all herbal concussion, and they take it, and they are strong as, you know, as the stone. You know, they are still running around healthy. You know, somewhere in my place now. Now that's like prayer. You know, it's a prescription for all situations. Sick, pray. Suffering, pray. Cheerful, pray. In sin, pray. Now, before I go into the details of what each of the situation, now, let me give you a bit of a background, because I believe this is going to be of tremendous help to you. Because one of the questions people usually ask is, you know, why doesn't God just do it? Why do we have to go into all of this prayer and thing, you know? He knows anyway, so why doesn't he do it? Now, obviously, because of the brevity of our time, we're not going to go into the details of things, but I just want to show you a particular scripture. In Psalm 115, verse 16, Psalm 115, verse 16. And this is what it says. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Of men. Now, what is that saying? No, when the Lord made us, the Bible says he made us in his own image. Let us make man in our own image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. After our likeness, and let them have dominion. When the Lord made us, he made us to have a dominion on earth. In other words, just like the Lord dominates the heavenlies, he wanted a man to dominate the earth, so that anything that takes place in the earth is under the dominion, if you like, under the supervision of man, you know, just like God dominates the heavenlies. And so you will see God coming down in the cool of the day, like the Bible says, and to meet Adam and Eve. How are you guys doing? So it's like moving from heaven to come to the earth. And at that time, things were not too different. You know, because God could switch easily from heaven to earth, and he would still be at home, because man was in dominion. Man was in perfect dominion until sin came. So when sin came, the authority to dominate the earth was taken by Satan, was actually handed over by humans, by Adam and to Satan. And that's why when Jesus was being confronted in Luke chapter number 4, he was going to be tempted by the devil actually showed Jesus the kingdom of the world. I said, "For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomsoever I wish." Who was he referring to? This was delivered, this kingdoms of this earth was delivered into my hands by Adam. And now it's in my hands, I can give it to whomsoever I wish. So the kingdom that was given to man to dominate and rule over, just like this passage says, the heavens belongs to the Lord, and the earth he has given. He gave it to man. So man dominates this area, you know. And so each time, each time the Lord wants to do anything on this earth, each time the Lord wants to do anything in this part of his creation, it kind of goes through man, because man is supposed to be the one that has dominion here. Now, that comes as an act of his own choice. He has chosen man to be the one that rules on earth. So if God was going to do anything on earth, he would have to go through man to accomplish it. Is that making sense? Now, unfortunately, the authority to accomplish and to keep things under control on earth was already given to the devil, and devil was brandishing it, as it were, to Jesus and said, "Look, I've been given all these things. It's been delivered into my hands. If you want it, just bow down and worship me." And Jesus understood this, you don't take things back coming to, you know, a negotiation table. It has to be by force. And Jesus had to go and die, and you know the rest of the story, and actually destroyed hell. The Bible says he actually made a public spectacle of them. He took the keys of hell. He took the keys of death from the devil. Took the authority back from the devil. And then in Matthew chapter 28, you see Jesus comes back and he says, speaking to his disciples, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go." In other words, I've got it back, okay? I've got it back, guys. Therefore, go. Now, but the instance, there is a small difference here now, because anyone that will now go in through that authority will have to come to Christ. Because now the authority is now in Christ, unlike at the beginning when it was just given to man. Of course, man messed it up. Everyone that now wants to rule and reign on this side of the eternity called earth, come through the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so that's the authority that we have when we come through him as believers, and when we come in the name of Jesus, we are using that authority. So it's more like, you know, we have 24 hours access to it every day. It's just that it's already banked. It's banked with Jesus, and then we have the card. Okay? So just like your money is in the bank. They are kept somewhere. But with your card, you can stroll in anywhere and throw it in, and money will come out to you. But money is not kept in your house, obviously, because the bandits may come and rob you. The devil may come and take it from you, like he took it at the beginning. So what you've got is the ATM card. Your ATM card is your being born again, being saved, and in the name of Jesus. Okay? Don't ever forget your ATM card, okay? Because that's what you'll use. So the money is there, it's banked with Christ. The authority is banked with Christ. But you have the authority in the name of Jesus to make a withdrawal and make use of it at any point in time. All right, good. But you are, you and I, we are the ones that have been kept on earth. Heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, the heart he has given to the children of men. He has given us dominion. So whenever God wants to have anything to do here, he will have to pass through man. By choice, by his sovereign will, it will have to pass through man. Now, this is what prayer does. This is simply what prayer does. Prayer just connects your life, your world, to the heavens. You know, the Bible says this. It says, pray like this. When the disciples came to Jesus to ask how to pray, you say, pray like this. Our Father, thank you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is what it means. Your kingdom in heaven, nobody questions it. It's settled. Now, but in prayer, I want that kind of a dominion of your kingdom in heaven to come to earth. That's what prayer does. It brings heaven to earth. It brings heaven to your world. It gives God the permission to begin to step into your world. Other than that, he is handicapped, as it were. Even though he created the heavens, he created the earth, but he puts you and I there. So when he will function in this part of his creation and in this your world, he will need to come through your permission. Your prayer is just your permission to say, Lord, I'm connecting with the heavens and I'm bringing it to earth. Because in heavens, there is no question about his authority. It's only on earth that his authority is questioned, and it's questioned because man lost the authority and the dominion. That's simply what prayer is all about. Prayer is, I'm bringing heaven to my world. I'm bringing heaven to earth. Now, this is what prayerlessness is all about. Prayerlessness is, Lord, don't bother, don't worry. I will take care of this myself, okay? I know how to manage it, okay? Just don't worry. And then the next time you complain and we grumble and we murmur, so why is God not doing anything? God is saying, look, invite me into your world. Invite me into the process. Invite me into it, because I can't do anything except if you ask me to do it. You know, the Bible says I'm at the door, Jesus speaking in a different context now. I'm at the door and I'm knocking. If you open, I'll come in. Somebody say, why don't you barge in? He doesn't barge in. He handed it over. That house, he handed it over to you. I know if you were the landlord, if you gave somebody a house, you will have a spare key. And then you can come in anytime you want. He doesn't do that. If he gives it to you, he hands over everything into your hands. So the next time he wants to come into that house, he will need to knock for you to give him permission to come in. And that's why the entire Godhead functions. That's how God the Father functions. That's how Jesus functions. That's how the Holy Spirit functions. And that's why you never see anyone that's received the baptism of the Holy Spirit just by force. I'm just coming unto you and using you. No, it doesn't work that way. You will need to open the door for him. So when we come into prayer, it's an acknowledgement of the fact that, look, God, I know I'm supposed to be the boss on earth, but I messed up. Now, I need your help. And so I need to connect myself to the pipe of heaven to bring heaven down into my world and into the situation. That's simply what prayer is. And so whenever you don't pray, you don't invite God into the situation, and he's handicapped. He does want to help. He does want to intervene. But because he has given the authority of dominion of the health over into your hands, it will be breaking his own rule of handing over the rulership and the dominion of earth if he were to come into the situation and do something without your permission. Now, somebody says, but does that God do that? Of course, sometimes he does it out of his sovereign will. It is the exception. It is not the rule. The rule of the matter is you need to connect yourself to the heavens to bring heavens down into your world. And that was exactly what God enjoyed when he made man. So he could come into in the cool of the day and just enjoy himself with Adam and Eve in the garden, because heaven and earth were kind of, you know, similar feel. You know, of course, when we get back to heaven, it's going to be far better than what it is now, because this is a messed up world. We inherited a messed up, confused world. But at that time, God could come into the earth, and he would enjoy himself as much as probably what he would do in heaven, because the earth was under the rule of man, and man was ruling it as it was ordained to be ruled. It's almost like some of us, this is not a perfect example, but some of us, if you're going to move from maybe Australia, you know, I've had the opportunity of speaking to people who have moved from one country to the other, and I've asked people, how was it? Some generally speaking, people will say, oh, it was a challenging thing, you know. But when you ask people who move from a world which is similar to what it is in Australia, it's not the same thing as when you have somebody who moved from a world that is completely different from the situation in Australia. It's not exactly the same. The challenges are completely different. The way of life are completely different. You get a culture shock. Oh, so this is the way they do here. Not the kind of culture shock that somebody from New Zealand will do when it comes to Australia, you know, because, I mean, it's similar. You know, for some of us, we came and said, oh, really? Really? From the car, that's the first thing. Why do you have to drive on that side? Why not on this side? That's the first contention. And then the next thing, you go to the shop, you buy rice. It's different kind of rice. How do people survive here? You know? You know, so it's a different kind of world. So when God, before the fall, God was having, it's almost like a comparable kind of a system. But after the fall, it's not the same at all. It's a completely different world entirely. And that is why it is important for us, if we want to experience the kind of world, at least as close to what it was before, then we will have to connect to heaven to bring the power to make things. And that is not going to happen to this entire world. There is no amount of prayer and fasting that believers in this world will make to reverse the curse. The curse will continue on this earth. But to the extent of actually, at least in your own domain and your own sphere of influence, you can bring heaven down there. That's what prayer does. That's exactly what prayer does. And that is why many of us, we are suffering because we don't understand this. Now, let's go to the context of all of this and let's see how much we can do today. Is anyone suffering? So we have established that the purpose of prayer is to bring the influence of heaven on earth. Obviously, the best of the earth is still not comparable to heaven. And that's where we will still continue to trust the Lord to take us home, at the appointed time, because it can never be exactly the same thing. But this is just to awaken our hearts to begin to see that our life could be, our life will be better than what it is now if we would just engage with God in prayer. Now, let me ask you a simple question. If every time that you pray, within 24 hours, you get answers to your prayers, I can be very sure that many of us will be like prayer machine today. You know, we'll literally have to stop you to stop praying. Why? Because you just know it's within 24 hours and it's going to change. You know? Just Toyota, you know? Mazda, you know? In 24 hours, you just come. You know? House, you know? By the beach, you know? The beach will be overflowing now, you know? Because you know it will happen. Now, we don't pray because somehow we have lost the connection between influencing our world and talking to God. Somehow there has been a disconnect between our confidence in actually bringing to pass an influence in our world and talking to God. And that is why many of us are actually suffering and in pain and in confusion, and we are having this magnitude of problem both outside and inside the church, because We have just not connected the fact that our world is a function of how much of connectedness that we have with the heavens. And we have not connected the fact that God will do nothing. He has chosen to only do things in response to our connecting with him in prayer. I don't know why. The question I get asked is, why did God have to choose prayer as a means to do things? I don't know. And maybe you're going to be part of those people that are going to ask that. I know many of us have questions to ask God, and we'll have that opportunity to do so when we get to heaven. But while we are here on earth, we know that he does not do things except we engage with him in prayer by rule. There are exceptions to the rule, but that's just the way it works. You know? So you look at your life today and ask yourself the question, why am I where I am? I will tell you without even thinking and knowing the details of your life. You are where you are today because of your prayerfulness or your prayerlessness. To put it in simple context, you are where you are today based on the level of your connectedness with heaven in your prayer life. It's as simple as that. And that's why it pains my heart to see that we're not just not praying as a people. We are actually degenerating into the point where from the pulpit we're beginning to tell people that it's not even important to pray. We're beginning to think things through. We begin to speak things through. We begin to, get into all kinds of things without praying. Now, the Bible says the first category of people, it says this, is anyone among you suffering? Now, the word suffering here is an all-encompassing word which embraces all negative experiences. It means disappointed. It means persecution, loss of property, affliction, trouble. Is any of you suffering? What do you do? No, don't analyze. No, don't rationalize. No, don't do blame game. As a matter of fact, don't complain. Don't grumble. Don't murmur. Those are the things that we do, and those things will not change anything. As a matter of fact, it will make things worse. From our experience, we can actually talk about that. When things happen in our lives, the first thing we want to do is complain about it, talk to somebody about it, and those things may be good to talk to somebody about it, but that's actually not the first prescription of the scriptures. The first prescription is, have you talked to God about it? Pray. Are you suffering? Pray. Don't you like where you are? No, I don't like where I am, Pastor. Pray. Do you like the situation in your home and your family? No, I don't like it. Pray. No, but Pastor, I thought I was going to read some books. And No. You can read books later, but pray first. But I prayed last week. Then keep praying. Has it changed? No. Then keep praying. It has to continue. That's the way it is designed. Because somebody said, but why can't God just do it somehow? He can't just do it somehow because he puts you here on the earth to control things. And if you will get involved, you need to connect. You see, the resources of heaven is in abundance, overflowing. The power to do is not limited. You don't drain the resources of heaven. As a matter of fact, when you have taken your portion out of the resources of heaven, they have not even known that somebody has visited the place to take any portion. Is that abundant? You know, so don't be scared that when I receive all the power, what's going to happen to the next person? No, the power is there, okay? And we're going to see it in a short while when it says the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And that's what I want us to, I want to challenge us as a church and as a people and as a family people, stop complaining, stop talking. Don't waste your time just talking to people about the situation. It's okay to talk to people about the situation only after you have talked to God about it, only after you have prayed. You know, he said, prayed, and what are you going to be praying about? You're going to be praying that God should bring an end to the suffering. Simple. Pray that God will bring an end to the suffering. Pray that God will bring an end to this disappointment. Pray that God will bring an end to the trouble, to the affliction, to the losses that you are experiencing. You need to pray. That's the first part to start. Because those afflictions, those troubles, those confusion, they are not products to embellish your life or to decorate you. They are products to destroy you. Pray. If any are afflicted, pray. Suffering, pray. Disappointed, pray. Experiencing losses, pray. That's exactly what he has called us to do. Let me just digress a little because I know that some of you are thinking, so but why do I, how do I have to pray, or how do I go about it? Like I said, I just want to have this conversation with you. Now, you see, you don't have to have many words to talk to God, you know? Your prayer about certain things may just be like, you know, you enter into your closet and say, oh, God, my Lord, this situation, Lord, help me. Now, what do you think I'm doing? Because somebody have not knelt down and then read some things, you don't think that's prayer. That's prayer. That's prayer. You are connecting with God. You are talking to God. As a matter of fact, there are instances where you say, Lord, my God. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. What are you doing? You are praying. You know why? Because it's not that, you know, although it's only Lord, Lord, Lord that is coming out of your mouth, there is a lot bubbling in your spirit, and God connects with that. That's exactly what happened to Hannah in the Bible. This woman was suffering because he didn't have a child, and he was there. The Bible says his lips were moving, and there was no words coming out of her mouth. And then Eli got it wrong. The priest of God got it wrong, because pastors do get it wrong sometimes. In fact, many times, okay? And he said, it's still very early in the hours of the day. Why? You are drunk already? You know, I'm so glad that it's not some of us, because that time we'll just lose our cool. Pastor, are you stupid? You're talking that I've not had any drink. You better mind your business. No, that woman did not do that. You know, he said, I'm troubled. It's because of the troubles of my heart. And the man of God releases his word. The Lord is going to answer. I can't remember the exact phrase, just paraphrasing. The Lord is going to answer you, you know. Why? Because in her heart, she was already communicating with God. You know, praying. And that's what we need to do. That's why it says pray without ceasing. Because you, in your heart, you can actually connect with God even without you opening your mouth. But I believe so strongly that there are moments, in fact, many more moments you should open your mouth and talk to God. You know the problem with many of us? We are talking to people more than we talk to God. And it shows in our lives. It shows. We are typing messages to people rather than typing messages to God. Somebody says, how do you do that? You can type a message and bring it to God and read to God. It happened in the Bible. There was a king that got a threat from somebody, from another king, from another nation, and he took it into the house of the Lord, laid it upon the altar as if he was bringing it to God. God, can you read? You know, if you need to do that, you can type your prayers and come to God and start reading it to him. That's if you need to do that. But you need to pray to God. You need to come back to this source of things. Look, can I be very honest with you, people of God? You cannot, and mark my word, you cannot survive this life without prayer. You cannot. We can go through this demotion, but we cannot survive life and be productive the way God wants us to be productive without prayer. That's the truth of the matter. You can do all the gimmicks. We can do all the writing, all the readings. We can do all the things. But if we don't connect with God in prayer, we cannot survive. We're going to take it up from here next week. But let me just round up with this. Prayer or praying is not a punishment. Prayer or praying is an opportunity. An opportunity that we need to grab, with our two hands. And the more we engage in this, the deeper we go to know God, the deeper we get to know how to pray. We're going to see that next week. The deeper we understand the ramifications of prayer, the deeper we are able to understand the mind of God about prayer, the deeper we are able to understand the purpose of our lives, the deeper we are able to connect with the future even before they happen, because we are engaging in prayer. People of God, there is only one thing that the devil will disturb you and stop you from doing. He won't stop you from, you know, talking about prayer. He won't stop you from thinking about prayer. He might not even stop you from sharing about prayer. But he will do all he can to stop you from actually praying. Shall we pray?